to the bank.
Ah, okay, so this is the question.
But it's closed.
It's closed.
Okay. Yes, I mean, that's whether you want to call this a safety or a reliability constraint is, I don't know, I mean, yes, you could maybe say it's more related to reliability than to safety. Yes, okay.
You could have other applications to reliability, right?
Sorry?
You could have other applications where you circumvent the event.
Yes, and then...
This is just an example.
Yes.
It could be a stop order.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, okay, I mean, how... I mean, that, I guess then the question would be whether this would rather need to be associated to a different stereotype, which would then be labeled reliability rather than safety. Okay, yeah, I mean, this, yes. I mean, the reason why this is all put into this one stereotype is really that these are the two different kinds of, you know, failures that happen, and just mainly a technical reason to keep this together, but it may be more on you know, from the point of view of safety and reliability, it may be more precise to separate them there, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But the point I was trying to make is just that this is something which you would expect to be fulfilled. And if it's not fulfilled, then you may or you may not have a safety problem arising from that. But that's, okay, strictly speaking, it's more reliability and not necessarily safety. Yes. Okay. Yes. But, yeah, I mean, this terminology questions is something which I also, well, which I would not really want to go into to deeply here, I suppose. But, yeah, okay. But it's a good comment, yeah. And, yeah, the reason why I say that is, well, I'm not, in a sort of way, I'm split up between security and safety community, and there's a lot of discussion also about terminology between the different communities. In safety, people tend to say that security is sort of a subset of reliability, whereas security people tend to say that they are different, you know, and yeah, terminology is difficult if you talk to people from different communities, and so you will always have problems there, I suppose. Anyway, so okay, I hope the technical level is clear in this respect. Yeah. So yeah, then the next kind of stereotype here is you also need to make sure that the earlier remark may also apply to other kinds of stereotypes in the following, you know, whether this should be better labeled as safety or reliability, that could be as well applied here. Anyway, so the second kind of thing you have to consider when using this approach is that in this approach you are able to associate safety levels with the data in your system in a way similar to the safety levels which I mentioned on the earlier slide, and safety level in this context then means that a certain data has certain goals associated with it, such as a certain piece of data should be delivered within a certain time bound with a certain probability, and that it should be delivered correctly with a certain probability. And then you can formulate this using this critical stereotype, which you can attach to class diagrams, and which has again this goals tag associated with that, which then includes these requirements. And then the constraint associated with this self-dependency stereotype, which you can then put on the subsystems containing this class diagram. Here you again have a similar consistency constraint as in the safe links case, where you make sure that whenever you have a communication dependency between two classes C and D, then the safety goals on formulated on given pieces of data in the one class should be the same as those in the other class. So in this example, when you have a sender and a controller, where the controller calls the sensor to receive a certain measure value, and the controller has the requirement that the measure value should fulfill certain real-time requirements, where we assume that one of them is, not surprisingly, that there's a time bound of T for this this value to be delivered. Then the requirement would be, which you would have to check with respect to the self-dependency stereotype, that the sensor actually also has this requirement associated with this operation measure, and in order to make sure that it is implemented in a way which actually ensures that this real-time requirement is actually fulfilled. And again, I suppose this is actually more of a reliability requirement. Okay. Yeah, so, and again, this is here, this is the technical constraint which is associated with the stereotype. Okay, and then, any questions about these stereotypes so far? Then, so the two kinds of stereotypes which I just explained are sort of refer more to consistency checks on the static structure of the model. And firstly, in the context of the deployment diagram, and secondly, in the context of class diagrams. Then now the third kind of stereotype is an example for a stereotype which refers more to the behavioral part of the model, and this is now supposed to ensure that the guarantees or the requirements relative to the possible failures which may arise and which we are considering here, again, a loss, a delay, and corruption, that the specified behavior of the system actually delivers these requirements. And so intuitively, this is then probably also relatively straightforward. Firstly, of course, we have to assume that the execution model of the UML fragment delivered here includes a notion of time steps. This is actually the case. So you have to, the intuitive idea is that the UML model is executed iteratively, and each round of the execution represents a time step, where the actual time period in whatever, how many milliseconds or whatever, microseconds, this is at this point left open. We just assume that we have discrete time steps given in the underlying semantic. And then immediate of T, this tag associated with the stereotype means where T is an actual number of time steps, means that on the level of the execution semantics of the UML model, the behavior specified in the subsystem which carries this the stereotype actually delivers the relevant value within at most these time steps. So you can then actually verify that precisely and formally on the level of the underlying formal semantics. And then secondly, this eventual tag means that the probability that the delivered value is lost during the transmission is again at most 1 minus t. And thirdly, the correct tag means that the probability that the delivered value is corrupted during transmission is at most 1 minus q. And how you can actually verify whether this is the case, I will say a bit more after I introduce the other kinds of stereotypes. So the point here is that the execution semantics in the context of safety, the execution semantics for this UMA fragment includes a failure semantic of the underlying physical level of the system. And this failure semantic may include at each point in time a delay, a further delay of the delivery of the value by another time step, or may include the corruption of the time value. And this is sort of included within the execution semantics on the level of the mathematical model. Any more questions related to this? Comments? No, that's fine. I mean, I'm always
tuning.
I'm always interested in comments.
In our culture, what we gotta explain. Sometimes we need some adjustments.
I can imagine. Yeah. And if you have comments, then I'm always interested anyway.
Thank you.
Okay.
I'm just a bit confused about you seem to be talking all the time here about messages being delayed or not coming or being interrupted.
Mm-hmm.
Are you using that as one example of one kind of failure?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, exactly. So this is...
Because you're giving me an impression that that's what everything's about.
No,
you don't mean that.
No, not really. I mean, maybe it looks like it if I talk about this safe behavior stereotype, then I don't mean that this is what safe behavior means on the whole. Just I'm concentrating here on this fault tolerance setting and specifically on the exchange of messages between components and the use of fault tolerance to compensate failures which may arise from this specific situation. Mm-hmm. And their safe behavior would probably mean something like that. But it's an example just to for a certain aspect of the whole problem, just to for presentation purposes. Mm-hmm. So the next kind of stereotype here is the containment, and this is again refers to the behavior of the of a given component, and so intuitively the goal is here to prevent indirect corruption of critical data by parts of the system that are not trustworthy. And so firstly, again, as mentioned earlier, one can use this critical stereotype to associate safety levels with data, and then intuitively the constraint is that the value of any data element which has associated certain requirements in, or certain critical requirements in this critical stereotype should only be influenced by other data values which have at least the same requirements. So if one piece of data influences some other piece of data in some way, this should only happen if the first is at least as considered to be at least as critical as the second. And this again one can make precise by referring to the underlying formal semantics. And yeah, an example for this, well, necessarily a very artificial and simple example to be able to put it on one slide. Assuming here we have a fuel controller on a plane where you have, really artificially you are trying to compute the used fuel from the amount of time passed while the plane is in flight, which is probably not what you want to do in practice, but just for the sake of the example. But of course, then if you really do that, then you have to take into account that if somehow accidentally or for whatever reasons the wheels were left outside the plane, you use up more fuel because of higher air resistance. And therefore, in this specification, you have the two different states. Wheels are either in or out. And depending on that, you will need a different constants to multiply your time period with in order to see how much fuel was used up already. And this is, again, just an artificial example for the situation where a piece of data which you might otherwise maybe not consider to be critical, at least not while you're in flight. I mean, there's immediately nothing bad would probably happen if you would leave out the wheels. Of course, it's more important if you actually try to land. In that sense, it will become safety critical. But just for the example, to construct a situation where you have a piece of data which is critical, which may depend on data which you may not consider to be critical. And this is actually what is the situation here. So you consider fuel to be critical, but here there's no such requirement for the wheels in flag, and therefore if you then produce an execution semantics from the specification, you will see that for different kinds of values of the non-critical flag, you have different kinds of values of the critical fuel data, and this is actually what should be really prevented by this containment stereotype. In that sense, the constraint is violated, and this would then be highlighted by the tool support associated with this approach. Of course, here you could still say that common sense would tell you that this is wrong, apart from the fact that this is highly artificial anyway. But the point is that in real-life examples, you would usually have much larger specifications, which probably would also be more complicated, and there would not be so easy to see that this requirement is actually fulfilled. And this is this kind of containment requirement may actually may also arise in situations such as this X by wire in cars, where on the one hand you may have infotainment software giving you the latest news, and on the other hand, your software actually taking part in the steering of the vehicle, and you would not want to this untrusted infotainment software to corrupt the behavior of your safety critical software. And again, these are just a few examples for checks that you could realize in this way, but there are other checks, and again, there are of course quite a few safety checklists in the literature, and these you can, or most of them you can also incorporate in this approach, but I just don't have the time to demonstrate that here. And okay, I think we're actually, yeah, this is the start of the lunch break, so after lunch I will say a bit more about what happened under the surface of this approach with respect to the failures, and then again I think this comes back to an earlier question about what assumptions are made here about probabilities and so on. So are there any questions at this point about the material we've seen this morning? Okay, so then I think we'll meet again in 1 hour at 2 p.m. here.